For our Heritage Sunday this year, we're delighted to have our former pastor, Reverend Aubrey Smith, and his wife, Norma. And I won't make you stand unless you want to, Norma. So good to have you with Aubrey this morning. Aubrey and Norma are both graduates of Trevecca Nazarene College and have served pastorates in the Carolinas, Ohio, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Georgia, as well as he had served as special assistant to the district superintendent in at least two districts that I know of. Brother Smith also has a master's level work in business administration. He is presently serving as senior pastor of the Fort Mill Church of the Nazarene in Fort Mill, South Carolina, not far from Norma's family roots. Another significant reason for having the Smiths, in addition to his being former pastor, is that his family heritage, the Smith family heritage, is from nearby, just outside Lawrence County in Johnson County. And his roots are here in Georgia, where his dad, Reverend Doyle Smith, was our district secretary in the Church of Nazarene for many years and was pastor of some of our best churches. And, of course, Brother Doyle served for many years as district superintendent of the East Tennessee District before returning to his boyhood home here in central Georgia. Pastor Aubrey, we welcome you back to Dublin. Please take your freedom, and whatever God has laid on you to preach today, lay it on us. Let's give Brother Smith a good Dublin welcome. Okay? God bless you, brother. Bless you, man.
Deja vu. It was homecoming 2000, as I understand, that you got a great new pastor. That was 10 years ago, if not on this day, at least on this particular occasion, that Myron and Betty Wise became your pastors. Let's give them an applause this morning. God bless you. As outgoing pastors, we're not usually allowed to vote on who the next pastor is. I've had some DSs say that pretty clearly. But I was most excited and felt it was wise of the church when I learned that you had contacted the Wises to be your pastors and they had accepted. In the last few days, I've looked through the pictorial directories and some startling things came to mind. Preschoolers, now in high school. Third graders and above are now in college, married, starting their careers, or all of the above. Boy, 10 years makes a big difference, doesn't it? But fortunately, you and I have not changed at all in 10 years. So the rest of us, so we're doing okay, and you're looking good, and somebody running for mayor or wanted some money told me I looked the same. But anyway, we'll have an altar call for all liars after the service, and things will go right on. You know, the fact is, we're here for one purpose today when you boil it all down. What we've already been doing, worshiping the Lord. That's the most important thing in the world, isn't it? Now, I long since have learned that people really don't come to church to hear me preach. They're nice enough to endure it once they get there, but that really isn't why they come. I am doubly sure of that when I know that there is South Georgia peas and butter beans and corn and southern fried chicken and all of that over there. If you will just promise me that you'll get about every tenth word and hold on to it, okay, we'll at least get something accomplished in these few moments, and I promise not to hold you this morning. I wanted you to think with me today on the fact that the church is a continuum. The church is a continuum. Now, continuum is a word or a principle that is applied in mathematics, in physics, in business, and in many other areas. So for those of you that are far smarter in any and all of those areas than I am, which probably takes up just about everyone here, don't hold it too strictly to the legal and specific and technical definition, but in adapting and applying the definition of a continuum, I am talking about the interrelationships that are at work in all functions in order to produce an end product and that which is necessary for continuation. I want you to hear that again. The interrelationships that are at work in all functions in order to produce an end product and that which is necessary for a continuation. The Church of Jesus Christ, I believe, is a continuum. I've always believed that in a way, but it was year or so ago, as I stood at District Assembly, as I and your pastor and others have many times, and was called upon, as we are, to give what they call the pastor's annual report. And the pastor stands up, as most of you know. You've been hosting District Assemblies for a long time and doing a great job of it. Pastors get up and they give their report and they report for the church on what's happened in the last year. But this last year it hit me so forcibly. First of all, that it was not my report. It was not a pastor's report. It was the report of multitudes of people in various ways and places and across time. Not just Aubrey Smith as the pastor, not even just the local membership at that moment, but so many people that were a part of the interrelationships that it took in order for that report to be possible. Also, the fact that it wasn't an annual report. There is no such thing. In essence, all we can divide things down. In fact, in life, we sort of do that by experiences and years or months and so on and so forth. But the fact is, life is a continuum. And what I was reporting was not just what I and other people had done in the past 12 months, but what multitudes of people had done across a long period of time to bring together this end result and what was necessary in order for it to keep going. You see, Scripture, life itself, the kingdom of God, is evidence of this continuum. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, it was for eternity. And even though sin came along and thwarted some of the plans of God, God, through Christ and the resurrection, kept the possibility of that continuum going in the Church of Jesus Christ and in our lives throughout all of life and ultimately for eternity. The Scripture talks about it. Harvest principle. You sow, first in planting things, and then you cultivate it, and maybe you water it, and do all of those things and reap. But it really, even that isn't complete, because back before that farmer sows, there have to be other things that prepared the ground all across time. And when he gets to the harvest, that is not the end of it, but that farmer will very soon be back in the field preparing it and working it up and preparing it so that cycle keeps going over and over again. I look forward to coming to Dublin this time because I remembered, even as we in Charlotte, North Carolina area have been having one of the worst winters in a long time, although our son in Minneapolis laughs at us at our winters, but nonetheless. I thought, Norman, I'll get to go to Dublin, and I remember that homecoming was just sort of almost the beginning of spring. It was nice and warm, and I tell you what, I don't know what I've done to you, but you really didn't have to work it that way. But all of that is a part of the continuum of life. The trees die? Not really, because all of that is God's work and effort in nature to keep this continuum going. The harvest principle. Jesus, or the Scripture says that God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and all of that in between. The Scripture tells us that He who has begun a good work in you is able to bring it to the day of Christ Jesus. What is it talking about? There isn't before God a beginning and the end other than what God Himself is. And that continuum just keeps it going. Remind you that a continuum requires a past. Continuum requires a past. This church has had a past. I was intrigued as I was re-going through some of the historical things of this church and reminding myself of them. But do you realize that you and I are here today and Dublin First Church is here today, not just because of those of us, you sitting here and those of us that have been a part of the recent past, but go all the way back. Go to the St. Paul Church of the Nazarene. Go to people like Brother Raleigh Johnson and Aurelia Moore and Reverend Ellison and Reverend Lyles, and on the list could go. The same with lay people across those years. I was intrigued again to find out and remember from that good job that your pastor and others had done on that video of the history of the church that there was a first time beginning of Dublin First, and it lasted a little while and then fell by the wayside and then later was reorganized and recreated. And I got to thinking, no, in the continuum, it didn't end. It was a part of all of this. Beautiful sanctuary. I love it. I told your pastor again as I walked in today how much I love it, and I love the surround part. Pastoring in a church with a shotgun building, it is about 423 miles from the pulpit to the back row. But the fact is, we are in this facility today. Yes, because of blood, sweat, and tears of some of you sitting here, I understand that. But also all the way back there to that what they call shed that was the first building with the sawdust floor. And then the first building, some of which now we can see in just that progression, 1, 2, 3, and now the new facility. You see, all of that isn't by luck, chance, or accident. It is this continuum of the Church of Jesus Christ in the power of God. For Jesus said that His church would triumph and the very gates of hell would not prevail against it. Heritage Day. It ought to remind us of all the people who've loved and given and worked all across time to make this possible. You and I are here today, not just because of our own initiative, but because so many other people paid and played a part in our lives and an influence. Your grandparents, great-grandparents, your parents, other people, sometimes people that you can't even consciously today identify that had a place in your life of being here today. You see, we segment things. We talk about, oh, so-and-so was one under the ministry of Aubrey Smith or Myron Wise or somebody. Might have been one at that particular time, but nobody comes to the Lord because of the efforts of an individual. In the church we're pastoring now, there's a dear man recently gone to heaven. He had started out as a teenager in the church. His mother was a charter member. His wife is the last remaining charter member of that church. After 60 years of dropping out of the church and, to my knowledge, never being in the church again other than maybe a wedding or funeral or maybe a church supper, he came to the Lord. Other people would say to me, and he said to me on many occasions, oh, if you hadn't come, you won me to the Lord, you were this. And I keep saying, oh no, I'm honored that I got to be a part of the ending process. the reaping of the harvest. But I would say to him, Clayton, remember all of those people across time that have been praying for you. Remember that wife that for 60 years prayed for you and on and on. And as we would talk, he would begin to say, yeah, I guess you're right. And he would identify this person and that person and so on. You see, every one of us are here today because of a multitude of people across time that have influenced us. And what about them? Maybe in your mind today you would pick out a parent or a grandparent or a Sunday school teacher and say, that's the person that most influenced me. Well, what about the person that influenced them that caused them to be in the place to influence you? And on back beyond that, what about the person that influenced them and the person before that that influenced them? And do you see what I'm talking about? This past keeps going all the way back and back and back. I'm always running into people called Smith. In fact, if you look at our church bulletin, the whole staff is named Smith, just one after another, and none of us are kin to each other. But the fact is that all have an influence back there. I sometimes say, well, we must be kin somewhere just this side of Adam and Eve. But do you realize what I'm saying? There are literally scores of people, hundreds of people, thousands of people, maybe tens of thousands of people that only God knows about in all of that trail all the way back that are a part of influence in a person that influenced the next person that influenced the next person that influenced the next until the one that influenced you or the one that influenced me for Jesus Christ. Heritage Sunday. It isn't just however many years this organization has been in being, but the fact is of just all the way back. But not only does continuum require the past, continuum is revealed in the present. You and I are here as monuments to the grace of God this morning. Oh, I know it took our own initiative to get here. Maybe you woke up this morning and thought, man, I hope the music's good because it sure isn't worth getting up to go hear Aubrey Smith preach, and I wouldn't disagree with you on that at all. But the music was worth your coming and the worship was. But we're here because of God's power through lives to influence. All of us are here for that reason and to influence others. People being won to the Lord. This church is here because of the influence of others and from other places and even other times. Do you realize today that Heritage Sunday or Homecoming Sundays or whatever Sundays we have in our churches, and we think about the fact of Dublin First Church and what it means in Dublin, Georgia, and Middle Georgia and the surrounding area. But do you realize today, because of the ministry of Dublin, Georgia, there is a single young lady serving the Lord in Alaska today. There is a young man that is serving on the staff at Point Loma College, Nazarene College in California today. There's a couple that is doing a campus student ministry at Clemson University. There are pastors on the Georgia district like a Larry Little and a Gary Mims that are pastoring because of the influence of this church today. On it could go, even to what takes place in Fort Mill, South Carolina through Aubrey and Norma Smith is because in part of the influence of this congregation and this ministry. So today we're not just here in this facility in Lawrence County in central Georgia, but this continuum ministry of this church is going on in many, many other places because of the people that have come through the ministry of this congregation and its influence that are out in other places worshiping together. You don't get to count them in Sunday school attendance, unfortunately, Brother Myron. You can't say, oh, we suddenly decided we found a new way to count. We had 4,000 Sunday morning. But I want to tell you, God's counting it that way, because He's looking down over all the earth and He's seeing all of those places where other people that have been influenced by this church are carrying on. Continuum. Not just here, but so many other places. Sometimes it even is unconscious. I remember when Norma and I first got married, we were in college and we rented a little house from a man, and just a lovely little place, and had a little patio out there. It had the tiles on it, but one or two of the tiles across time had been torn up and were missing. And lo and behold, we found out one spring that out of the ground where one of those tiles was missing, a little bush came up, and on that bush, over a little bit of time, was the development of some of the most beautiful cherry tomatoes you ever saw. I've tried to grow tomatoes. Almost zero production. But here was a plant, no doubt somebody had just slung some tomatoes out the door and some seeds had gotten down in that little hole in the ground. And year after year now, here came this little plant regrowing and cherry tomatoes, and we enjoyed them. You see, some of the efforts that you and I do, maybe smiling at the waitress who spilt coffee on us instead of cursing her out, or whatever Christians do that's the equivalent. Maybe it's being kind to a neighbor. Maybe it's being kind to someone that nobody else wants to be around. But it's planting seeds in this continuum that goes on and on and on and produces. You see, every time a baby is dedicated in this church, it's part of the continuum. Every time the children's department gets up and sings like this morning, it's part of that continuum. Every youth activity, every upward basketball program, all of that is a part of the continuum. Even the senior adult activities, right on to death. It's a part of the continuum. I've been around more years than I would like to think in pastoring. And I know the hurt and the heartache every time someone loses a loved one in death. And I know what it does to the church, particularly when those people, maybe they were such dear saints across the years, and you lose them and it seems like you lose something out of the life of the church. Or maybe it was someone younger that was such a vital logistical part of the church. But it dawned on me when God was dealing with me months and months ago about the continuum of the church, that that isn't the end. And even though it's a logistical loss for the church and an emotional loss for all of us, the fact is, when we give a saint unto the Lord, it is the great ultimate fulfillment of the continuum of the church. For God, through the church of Jesus Christ, has influenced them and brought them along and blessed them until now they are eternally secure and safe in the arms of Jesus. Continuum. You see, someday, Lord willing, well, someday I will pass on to another world. And Lord willing, by His grace, certainly it will be to go to be with Him. And when I do, there will be churches in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Ohio, that will all have had a part in bringing me to that point. Way back before that, there will be my godly father and grandfather and mother and all of those. And I can go back in my mind to some of the places that influenced them, and on back and on back. The continuum of the church requires a past. It reveals a present. And tonight we'll talk about what it does in the future. But I just in closing want to reinforce and remind you of two things. One, we are here because of the love, the prayers, the influence of so many people before us. And secondly, the Church of Jesus Christ is not just in these four walls today. Dublin First has had a mission across the years. And just as that first little congregation that met in that open air shed has had an influence upon what we are doing today, thus this church has an influence in many different other places around across this country and maybe even places around the world today. And may God use it and bless it. All of us have an opportunity to be a part of that. And may God bless and use you in that. Will you bow with me this morning, please? Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Oh, without question, first and foremost, for Jesus Christ and His love and His grace, without which none of this would be possible. But dear Lord, thank you for all of the people before us. Some of them have given blood, sweat, and tears. Somewhere along the line, some people probably put second mortgages on their home to see that a building was built for the Church of the Nazarene. Some people have given of their time as pastors or godly laymen across the years to sit in the nursery, to work with children, to minister to teenagers, to sing in the choir, to help clean the building, to paint the walls, to cut the grass. And not one bit of it has ever been forgotten by God, for all of that was a part of the influence along the way. Then, Lord, thank you for today, the present. You're Alpha, the beginning. You're Omega, the end. But you're also right smack dab in the middle, wherever that is that we are. And we thank you. Thank you for the ministry of this church today. Bless its upward basketball program. Bless its ministry to the people in this community. Bless the ministry of this choir, Brother Don. Bless the ministry of Pastor Myron and Betty and all of this staff. Dear Lord, bless these godly laymen and help them. We pray that their efforts will not be in vain. And every day and every week and every month, may they realize that sometimes they will see immediate results. And sometimes, Lord, all it seems like they're doing is just discarding some little old tomato. But that somewhere down the road, in the most unlikely of place, there will be something that sprouts up and produces that which God planned all along, not in tomatoes, but in the lives of never dying souls. Lord, today we pray that you will go to all of those other places, Clemson University, these other places in Georgia, Alaska, California, Iowa, all the places where people are that have come through the influence of the ministry of this church. And will you multiply the blessings and ministry of this church as you're multiplying it in those places? And someday when we get to heaven, may we be able to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." And for all of that, we give you praise, honor, and glory in Christ's name. Amen and amen.